This is my commentary from Welty's June recital from the Golden Apples, pages 62 through 64. I chose this passage because a lot happens here. Not in terms of actual events, but we get a picture of all these different characters, and more importantly, their relationships between each other and within the greater community. Also at the same time, we have a very good example in this passage of the different storytelling styles, the different voices that Welty uses throughout the entire book, which I find are really interesting. First of all, we witness this really interesting interaction between Miss Eckhart and her mother. Her mother is mocking her by screaming, "Dankeschön," while Virgie is playing and practicing. And Miss Eckhart's reaction to this is not to stop Virgie in her playing at all, but wait until the song is finished, and then walk across the room through these little tables and chairs across the studio, and then slap her mother in the face. Even Cassie can't believe that this just happened. She says, "I think that it must have been the mother that slapped the daughter, but it was the other way around." She's really shocked. What can we take from this? Well, it seems that Miss Eckhart has also realized that she's done something out of the ordinary and really strange when she makes this incredible exception and asks the girls to stay for dinner. At that point, Welty's just spent two paragraphs describing the smells of the cooking that usually is present in the room as the girls are taking their piano lessons, and that Miss Eckhart has never invited anyone over for dinner before. It's almost as though Miss Eckhart has realized that she's done something, you know, really crazy, and now has to try and save face by being like warm and welcoming, inviting the girls over for dinner, which is actually not normal at all. While this kind of shows us something interesting about Miss Eckhart and her mother, we don't really know what sparked her mother to make fun of Miss Eckhart in the first place. I think that what's also interesting is that Virgie and Cassie intertwine arms and say no to her together. What was really noticeable to me throughout this passage and the rest of the book was that there seems to be some sort of jealousy when the story is told from Cassie's perspective, talking about Virgie, and a competitiveness. Just within the passage that I read, for example, Cassie says that she was very well applauded when she played a piece, and the audience clapped more loudly for her than for Virgie, which she's very proud of, and then goes on to talk about how Miss Eckhart showered Virgie with all this attention that, you know, she may or kind of implies that Virgie was undeserving of this and was ungrateful for it. For example, on page 64, she talks about this little pin that Miss Eckhart gives to Virgie after Cassie has won a scholarship. It's a little butterfly pin made out of cutout silver, like silver lace to wear on her shoulder. And then she says the safety catch wasn't any good. This statement is a little bit out of place, and it's kind of unnecessary in terms of describing the pin itself. My thoughts on it were that it's kind of a sour grapes approach to the attention and the gifts that are being showered on Virgie by Miss Eckhart. And she goes on to talk about how Virgie wasn't able to read any of the German books that Miss Eckhart gave her, and that her dad ripped out the pictures anyway, that she was, you know, to imply in some way that Virgie was undeserving of these presents. And then goes on to talk about this extremely strong language at the end about Miss Eckhart's love towards Virgie Rainey, the way she gave all her love to Virgie Rainey and none to anyone else, the way she was strict in music, and for Miss Eckhart, love was just as arbitrary and one-sided as music teaching. Her love never did anybody any good. That's a really strong statement at the end of this passage, and I'm not sure that that's actually true, but it seems to Cassie that way, maybe just out of jealousy. Anyway, there's plenty of material to talk about Cassie and her relationship with Virgie in this passage and the rest of the book, but I wanted to move on to something that seems to be highly significant, which is Miss Eckhart's relationship with the community. I think that it's brought up in this passage in a way that's different from the rest of the book. On page 63, after Virgie and Cassie reject Miss Eckhart's invitation for dinner, all of a sudden it jumps to talking about the war and how Germans were being treated at this time period. The way these paragraphs read is kind of abrupt and a little bit jarring because it jumps from one subject to the next, to the next, to the next, talking about just from the war to the prejudice against Miss Eckhart to the fact that she needed someone else under her roof, that she was charging $6 a month, that Victor was killed in France, that it was Virgie's birthday. It just seems a little broken in its sequence, almost as though it's portraying the events that happened at this time and maybe the blind patriotism that emerges out of it as being something that's done, kind of one thing is leading to another. And then all of a sudden, Miss Eckhart has no business left. Cassie's the only person who's actually taking lessons anymore. However, there's a passage in here that I really like in terms of the way that it shows how gossip can get out of hand. It's at the bottom of page 63, and it's talking about Virgie at first. It says, "Perhaps nobody wanted Virgie Rainey to be anything in Morgana more than they wanted Miss Eckhart to be." And they were, the two of them, still linked together by people saying that. How much might depend on people's being linked together? Well, clearly, in this passage and the rest of the book, it matters a lot in Morgana, a small town, where gossip spreads fast. And I really love in this book how Welty uses that small town gossip to tell the story, really. The way that this passage is told, either from, it seems a little bit to be from Cassie's point of view, but the way that she's talking about it, there are some interjections and, you know, the punctuation, which I can't really show so much over a podcast, really helps to get the sense that this is a story. It's kind of train of thought. For example, when she's talking about Virgie playing the piano, she had a pomegranate flower in her pin, and she puts in parentheses, the marble-esque kind from Moody's, before continuing, stuck in her breast pin, and it didn't even move. Just right in the middle of the sentence, sticks that in there as if she'd just thought of it. And on page 63, she has just been talking about the smell of cooking, and then says, Miss Eckhart and her mother, in parentheses, her mouth that is still held crooked after the slap, ate pig's brains. Poor Miss Snowdy. Just like that, there are these exclamations, poor Miss Snowdy, adding in information that's almost out of place in terms of time, because she had gone into a narration about something else and then come back to describing the mother whose mouth was still crooked. For example, it's like she's telling it as she's thinking of it as she's going along. And this punctuation with the parentheses, exclamation marks, dashes, I'm sure you've noticed there are lots of those, and colons that would seem to be out of place in a story that wasn't being told as if it was storytelling on someone's porch. However, I don't think this book is telling a story as if it were told through one storyteller. I think there are a lot of different voices that we can recognize in the passage. Just in this passage alone, I think there's definitely the sense of a community in terms of a sort of gossipy tone. For example, on page 62, after Ms. Eckhart's mother yells, Dankeschön, it says, Cassie heard and saw her. That's like something you would say to confirm that something happened, the way you said it happened. In the same way, while talking about how Virgie's hand lost her touch, at the bottom of page 63, it says, that was what they said. Like, there's some more gossip, a greater community that's talking about this. It's kind of like the way Lorelai uses the word so to set the tone for what the story she's about to tell and what she's about to say. In other parts, though, I think that there's definitely an omniscient narrator doing the talking in the tone. For example, when talking about the war and Ms. Eckhart, the German, still wanted the Kaiser to win, that's kind of telling what the community thought, but I don't think that Cassie would have been so in tune with everything all the time, other people's thoughts, for example, to be able to add it in this passage. And, for example, other things, like at the bottom of 62, it says that the food in that house was cooked with wine. How does Cassie know that? It seems like, oh, obviously it's not in a first person, and we don't know that it's Cassie talking, but in a lot of other passages, it seems that to be from her perspective. But there are these lapses that it sounds like it's not Cassie, and it's not the community, because the narrator knows more than either of those would have known. So in conclusion, I'd like to leave you with these topics to discuss for tomorrow. The storytelling aspect of this book, the different voices that are present, and what we see happening in this passage and in others in terms of the relationships between Miss Eckhart, Cassie, Virgie in particular, but also the other characters in the book. In closing, I'd like to leave you with a few questions for discussion. One, how is Miss Eckhart portrayed as an unmarried woman? And what does this say about her character or about the community that likes to gossip about it? on the subject, we can consider page 66, the town gossip, her supposed relationship with Mr. Sissom, the fact that she's mentioned more than once as being unmarried when she's talked about as being despised. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. And as my second question, I was wondering how you thought of Miss Eckert as a power figure, an authoritative figure in this book and in this passage, just because she's unfazed by her mother's attack. She was literally attacked by a man when she was walking by herself, but she's an authoritative figure, not over the children, but it mentions later in the book that the mothers are afraid of her as well. And despite the fact that she seems to be so powerful and strong in the beginning, at the end, it's pretty clear that she's completely lost her mind. So good luck with discussion. That's it for my podcast. Thanks for listening.